Before AI can help your business predict demand, accelerate growth, inform decisions, automate tasks, reveal insights, generate content, you have to trust it. Introducing WatsonX Governance, helping you govern any AI as data, models, and policies change so you can scale it responsibly. Let's create AI that begins with trust with WatsonX Governance. Learn more at ibm.com/governance. IBM, let's create.
What's up, this your boy Lil Duval, and check out my podcast, Conversations with Unc, on the Black Effect Podcast Network. Each and every Tuesday, Conversations with Unc podcast feature casuals and in-depth talk about ebbs and flows of life and the pursuit of happiness. Unlike my work on stage, I tap into a more serious and sensitive side to give life advice and simply offer words of encouragement, yet remind folks to never forget to laugh. Every Tuesday, listen to Conversations with Unc, hosted by Lil Duval on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Presented by AT&T. Connecting changes everything.
This episode is brought to you by Navy Federal Credit Union. At Navy Federal, it's been the mission to help the military community for over 90 years. And not just help them, but do everything to make sure they not only grow, but flourish. That's why Navy Federal Credit Union has all kinds of great savings and investment options, like share certificates with sky-high rates. So don't hesitate. Start growing your finances today with a variety of savings and investment options. Navy Federal Credit Union. Our members are the mission. Savings products insured by NCUA. Investment products are not insured, not obligations of Navy Federal and may lose value.
Hello, this is Christian Bush, and welcome to episode 11 of my podcast, Geeking Out. Every episode, I invite a new person to talk about one thing that they're obsessed with that has nothing to do with their job. The only requirement is that they're totally geeking out on it, and they want to talk about it. From eyelid glitter stickers to homemade camp stools, from collecting classic hula girl lamps to do-it-yourself car painting, from made-at-home soda flavors to Alaskan bear tracking, tell me about what you love, why you love it, how you got into it, and what makes it awesome. Each episode is presented in three chapters. In chapter one, my guest and I will have a conversation about their passion. In chapter two, we play a game I call Trajan, where my guest and I turn each other on to something cool we've recently discovered. And in chapter three, I close the show by talking about music that I am currently geeked out on and why. I believe that curiosity is contagious and that life is better with a soundtrack. So let the geeking begin. Chapter one. Today's guest is Amy Mariello. Amy is a singer-songwriter who recently relocated to Nashville and is currently touring with my band Sugarland as a background singer. In addition to working as a touring singer with acts like INXS, Gavin DeGraw, and Nick Lachey, she's also an accomplished solo artist and songwriter for television and movies. With the Sugarland tour underway, I took the opportunity to sit down and get to know Amy and her dark curiosities. Amy Mariello, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you so much. So happy to be here, Christian.
I'm excited that you're here. And would you explain to everybody, first of all, where we are?
Okay.
And who you are, like your name and your job.
Okay. We are in Anaheim,
which is in California.
Yep. And we are on the Sugarland Still the Same tour. We're on your tour bus, and I am your backup singer.
Yes.
/ tambourine / triangle / shake master.
Are you playing a triangle?
No,
and I don't know it.
No, I threw that in. Like, that's just a dream of mine.
Dreams come true here in Sugarland.
Well, I shouldn't have said it because now I feel like there's going to be a triangle in my station.
So, what do you do for a living? Like, what is your location?
I'm a singer-songwriter. So, I write songs for TV and film mostly, which is called sync writing. And sometimes I'm successful at it, and sometimes I make bougie drinks for rich people.
How long have you been doing that?
I've been singing since I could talk, and I've been professionally in the industry since I was about 18.
So this podcast has nothing to do with that.
Good.
This podcast is about essentially it has one rule, and the rule is I want you to talk about something that you are totally obsessed with, totally geeking out on, that has nothing to do with your job.
Okay.
Right? All right. So what is it that you are obsessed with? What are you geeking out on right now?
I'm obsessed with crime. I'm obsessed with serial killers, crime TV, more real stuff. So not as much the scripted shit, although I do love a good SVU. but I love true crime. The ID Channel, you know, Forensic Files, 48 Hours, Dateline. Like, I'm just, when I'm not singing for you, man, I am solving crimes.
This is amazing.
I'm collecting evidence on stage and just
now,
seeing.
Do you think that you fall more on the side of solving the crime or committing the crime? Like, what's more fascinating to you?
That's interesting. I think that the psychology behind what it would take to commit a crime. So, for instance, like, we're all deep down, like, a little bit psychotic. Everybody has that, especially musicians. I'm looking in your eyes, and I'm like, you're a psycho. No, but we all have that part of us where, like, something happens, and you're like, what would it be like to, like, I hate this person so much. But think about the person that maybe it's not even because of hate, but it's just because they enjoy it, but is willing to take that next step and actually kill someone. That's a whole nother game. So I just feel like I'm obsessed with that, like the psychology behind what makes you snap. And then I'm also really intrigued by forensics and like the ability to make, you know, there's really almost no crime that's untraceable at this point. So we're really like, we're smart people now. We can, you know, I mean, I feel like there's a couple ways I can think of to hide a body, but other than that.
Oh my gosh, I have so many questions. When did this start for you? When did this start coming on as an obsession?
Definitely, I was always a really morbid child. So I remember like, it probably was like my early teens, this angsty, morbid phase. And even before that, where I would come down with my guitar and they'd be like, oh, she's going to sing us a really cute little pretty song. And I'd be like, I want to kill everyone. And they'd be like, wow. I remember my aunt saying, wow, you're so expressive. Because it was just, I was obsessed. And I would ask, you know, lots of questions about death. And I would always want to watch scary movies. And my brothers and my family, my parents weren't really into it. So I was kind of just the only one that was really into it. My mother will watch crime with me, but she'll mostly fall asleep. So
Do you do this alone? Do you watch these things alone?
Oh, Christian, you don't understand. Like, this is a real sick thing. Like, I listen to death podcasts, like serial killer stories, as I'm going to sleep in my bunk on the bus, scaring the shit out of myself. I once woke up to an exorcism being performed, and I had my in-ears on, so it was like inside my ears, and a woman was screaming bloody murder because they were doing an exorcism, and that's what woke me up. So,
holy smokes.
Yeah, and I'm like, why can't I sleep? I don't understand.
So this is way beyond like a Tim Burton movie.
This is like I need deep help. In. Yeah, like I need help. This is, I'm actually okay. Yeah, asking you for help right now.
Well, then let's dive in. I assume that you have never killed a person.
Never killed
have
a person.
Have you known anyone who's killed a person?
No. I know someone who was killed. That was pretty brutal. But, like, I think I've, like, pulled someone's hair once. Like, that's, like, that was, like, when I was drunk in Hollywood. I think I, like, pulled a girl's... I got in a bar fight and pulled a chick's hair, and then I got my hair pulled. That's the extent of my violence. But I'm just really intrigued. And what I found is that just like any other obsession, like it keeps getting more screwed up. So like at this point, if it's just someone getting shot up in a CVS, I'm not interested. I need someone like someone's severed head, you know, like, like I can't even be bothered with normal crimes anymore.
So at what point do you start to become interested?
Okay. Premeditated.
Okay.
I'm only interested in premeditated crime. So lots of forethought, lots of planning. I'm interested in crimes of passion, interested in serial crime. So someone doing the same thing over and over and not getting caught. Like right now, my obsession is truck stop crime.
Tell me more.
So Okay, so the truck driving, bus driving industry, which is calming because we're, you know, we're on a bus right now. We're among tons of drivers. But there's just this whole thing about truck stops and working women, prostitutes, and lots of working women are being killed on truck and bus routes. So because they're constantly on the move, it's insanely hard to really trace when someone was where. And a lot of these prostitutes are, you know, unfortunately overlooked by society. They're not in the books. They're not, you know, they haven't paid their taxes. They're not, so they're kind of like, they just disappear and nobody ever looks into it until every once in a while a family gives a shit and is like, where's my daughter? And then we find out she's been gone for like 10 years and she's in like a river somewhere. So there's lots of these truck route killings. And I'm interested in
where
it.
Where do you find out about this?
I started watching some kind of documentary on Netflix and then I started looking into it myself on the internet and looking on all these sites and finding out all these like unsolved crimes.
So are you
women that just disappear?
This is amazing. Okay. Help listeners with this. How do you get started into this obsession? If you had to give someone a quick primer on maybe a couple of shows to watch or a couple of documentaries or books to read, how would you point someone who was listening to this and goes, man,
like I'm kinda
I think
into
I
this.
Secretly have this too.
Yeah.
Like
yeah.
What's level one?
I think level one is, you know, Dateline NBC. And I really love certain journalists / hosts like Keith Morrison. I love like people's voices if a voice intrigues me. So I would go to the ID channel and watch some of the less kind of campy shows, but there's a few that are really good. I would go on a podcast and I would listen to Serial, which mm-hmm. is everyone's favorite, but it's a really good starting point because the way they do it really involves you in you know, solving the crime, and they actually don't solve it completely. But it kind of gets you into that, you know. And then I would go to maybe S-Town and then start on some, you know, just 48 Hours, which is constant. They're like 40 minutes and you can listen to them, and a lot of them are unsolved.
Okay, what's level two?
Level two, maybe I would go into forensics and I would go to like Forensic Files and start looking at like what traces people do leave. And like right here, there's evidence everywhere.
Tell me about what evidence is right here.
All right. So, you know, our fingerprints are everywhere.
Right.
Your jeans are ripped, so there's probably fibers that would come off. Say if you attacked me right now, there'd probably be fibers from your jeans that would come off.
Okay.
You know, I'd scratch you, there'd be skin under my nail. There was a bus driver I talked to that I asked, you know, which one your bus was.
He would know you came here.
He would know what time I came here around.
This is assuming that I would be the perpetrator.
Yeah, you're the
psycho. It's not you.
Yeah, you're.
You would be killing me, which might be a little more possible in this imagination.
Yeah, totally, totally. No, and we just, you'd look at the timeline and just, it's simple stuff. But there's just everything you do leaves a trace unless you're crazy and you intentionally wear gloves or cut off the tops of your fingers.
When do you feel like you're across the line? Like, do you have a line magically in your mind that if you go across it, that is too far into true crime obsession?
Yeah, I think maybe if I was to like actively go and find, I think that the people, I don't want to look down on anyone, but I think the women that are like desperately in touch with these serial killers in jail and like have formed these obsessions with them, because a lot of murderers get married while they're in jail because women become obsessed with the crimes, become obsessed with the man connected to the crime, and they write these letters, and these guys are in jail, and they're bored and horny and lonely, and they end up having these relationships, and I think that's a little bit silly and desperate.
This is a whole thing I've never even heard of.
Okay, so lots of people in jail, you know, have fans. They're like tons of fans. Like Charlie Manson had tons of fans. Ted Bundy, tons of fans. Green River Killer. Like, they're just these people that like women that are like, he's a bad boy, but I'm going to change him. So...
Okay. Yeah. I assume that, so what you're saying is the line is you would never write one of those
letters.
The
line is I would never actually come into, I mean, I'm totally lying. If someone said like you could interview a serial killer, I'd be there in a heartbeat. But I wouldn't be there because I wanted to like bond. I'd be there because I wanted to like get the inner workings of their brain.
Would you enroll in some sort of like?
Like school?
School?
I've just never been a fan of school, but I think as I get older, I'm more interested in learning. Like, I never cared about learning. I was like, I'm a singer and I'm going to be a star. but it, now, you know, I probably would just because it's cool to have other stuff going on. And obviously, I'm interested, as you can see.
Would you, it seems like, because you're a creative person, I'm just making a suggestion, but... Would you consider writing a story about, like, all of the... Like, you now know how these killers work. You know how... Like, you think you would be good at guiding a listener or a reader?
Well, I actually thought a lot about... Maybe you could help me with this. About writing a serial killer record where the songs were all based on different crimes. I already wrote a song called Land and Sea that I put out a while ago that's based on a murder. And it's one of my favorite songs I've ever written. But I thought about doing a whole record of that kind of stuff.
Murder ballads.
Murder ballads.
Okay. Yeah. Okay, I accept.
Okay, let's do it. Let's do it. You know, you said it and you said it on record, honey.
That's a great place to stop.
Exactly. Okay.
Snag a Job is where America goes to hire, with the deepest talent pool in hourly hiring. With access to over 6 million active hourly workers, Snag a Job is the all-in-one solution for hiring high-quality employees who can cover all your needs. On demand, temp to hire, part-time or full-time. You name the position: warehouse worker, retail associate, grocery store clerk, fitness trainer, baker, stylist, bellhop, podcast producer. Yeah, Snag a Job's got a worker for that. With our easy-to-use platform, you're able to seamlessly post and fill available positions quickly, with a dedicated customer support team to provide all the help you need along the way. Kind of nice knowing you have a talent pool like that in your own backyard, right? Snagajob is the partner you need to keep your business running smoothly. So visit snagajob.com or text SNAG to 242424 to talk to an expert. Snagajob.com, where America goes to hire.
Before AI can help your business predict demand, accelerate growth, inform decisions, automate tasks, reveal insights, generate content, you have to trust it. Introducing WatsonX Governance, helping you govern any AI as data, models, and policies change so you can scale it responsibly. Let's create AI that begins with trust with WatsonX Governance. Learn more at ibm.com/governance. IBM, let's create.
Your new home journey starts at Fisher Homes, where everything is red, white, and new. Explore exclusive summer savings and start your journey by selecting your ideal home site and your dream community. Choose from a variety of expertly designed floor plans and bring your style to life at the Lifestyle Design Center. Are you looking for a quick move-in ready home instead? Fisher Homes has options for those, too. Fill out a form to connect with a new home advisor at fisherhomes.com to get started today before the sun sets on summer savings.
Chapter 2. In every episode of Geeking Out, I see if I can trade one thing I've discovered recently with one thing that my guest has discovered. Anything is admissible in this friendly exchange I call Trade You.
All right, this is the part of the podcast that I call Trade You. It's just very simply something I'm into or something I've discovered or something I'm around that... I trade you one thing and you trade me in exchange something else. And I'll go first.
Okay.
So that you can kind of get the idea. And you'll probably be thinking about whatever it is you want to trade me.
Yeah, I'm thinking right now.
I would say this. I don't know anything about women's makeup or... Like, I never had a sister. My mom was not that kind of person. Like, I have a... My daughter turns 13, like, in a week. And I still don't know even what to feed her, you know?
Okay. Oh, my God.
Like, there's just
totally...
a complete blank in there.
And but, I like them. I love makeup so much.
So, well, here's something that I have learned
okay.
by osmosis. that there is a product that seems to kick the butt of all other products for one particular thing. And I guess, and I'm making a lot of this up in my mind as I observe my daughter and I observe the other people around me, but there's a thing about eyelashes. Apparently they're very important. My brother and I, Brandon and I, both have like extremely weird, like alienly long eyelashes.
This is why the world isn't fair.
So you don't really see it, but there's an occasional moment where at some drunk time, some girls put mascara or whatever it is on my eyelashes.
And you look
suddenly,
like a princess.
I look like a princess.
Yeah.
And, and then they start going, I would kill for your eyelashes, right?
Yes.
And I had no idea this was such a big deal until I started seeing people like stick on, like paste on eyelashes.
What
and
do
then,
you think I wear for the shows? I have fake eyelashes.
And
then
I saw they are like magnetic.
Oh.
Like you can get magnets that go on your eyes, right? I don't even know if they work, but there is a natural way. Well, we call it natural is what I've heard, but I have heard of a product that absolutely works. Hands down, no matter what, and it's called Lash Boost, right? It's Rodan and Fields, which is one of these pyramid schemes.
Right? I want this,
and I think you would love this because I've seen some people do it, and it literally does. I think you apply it.
Wait,
at
what
night.
Is it? It's
Rodan and Fields, and it's called Lash Boost. And I think
you do know I'm buying it. I'm literally buying it right now.
I think that the stories that I've heard, and this is just me being like creepy overhearing other people, much like maybe in true crime. You know, I'm just aware of things that are going on in the room. And then I even asked the other day, I was like, what exactly are you talking about again? And somebody explained it to me and I was like, okay. And they were just chitty chatting away at how important this is and how long their eyelashes have gotten, and in a very short time, like within 3 weeks or something, you see a huge difference.
That's my
trade for you is Rodan and Fields Lash Boost.
Oh my god, this is amazing! Does that wait? Oh, okay, I got one.
Okay, go.
Do you have any problems with sleep?
Yeah, I do.
Okay, so I've done part of being a crazy person is that I don't sleep naturally at all. So I've been listening to this weird yogi kind of podcast yogi thing called Yoga Nidra or Yoga Nidra or Yoga something.
Yoga Nidra.
And
it's a relaxation type of yoga, right?
You already know.
No, I don't.
But basically it takes you down your whole body and he's like, focus on your left toe. Focus on your middle toe. Focus. And you're like, oh, he's going to like skip things. He's like, no. Focus on your inner ankle. Focus on your inner thigh. And he goes through everything till you're so goddamn bored. You fall asleep.
Is that how it works?
I think so, because I got so pissed after a couple minutes of it. I was like, ugh, we haven't even gotten to the left side of my body and I'm brutally bored. So then I just decided to sleep during it, and it worked.
I need you to send this to me. Because
okay.
I do.
I'll send you a link.
I am sleep challenged.
Me too.
I'm one of those people who, as a kid, stayed up later and later and later just to see if I could.
Me too.
And then it flips me over.
Oh, yeah. And I'm like, I'm so immune to anything substance-wise because at this point, my liver's a distillery. And I've taken every single thing to knock myself out. So I could take the equivalent of what like a horse would take to go to sleep. And my body's like, sorry. So I need to do all this weird shit to just try to rest. And this kind of worked just purely out of boredom.
That's amazing.
I found my inner yogi out of pure boredom.
Okay. Now it's say it again. What's the name of it?
Yoga Nidra, I think.
And is this a podcast?
I Googled it. And then I found the podcast and I don't even know if it's a podcast or it's just like a 2-hour YouTube thing. And you just put it on and then it works. It bores you to sleep.
Oh, that's awesome. Will you send it to me?
Yeah. Right. I'll send you the link right now.
Well, Amy, thank you for being here.
Hey, thanks for having me.
You're a fantastic guest and please don't premeditate killing me.
I won't. As long as you give me something to do during Little Miss.
Okay. Game on.
All right.
Check
Chapter 3, Me Geeking Out on Music.
Song making, the process of how we make the donuts. Taking inspiration from this week's guest, I thought I might take a stab at writing a murder ballad. It's more common than you think for a songwriter to be asked to write a song about a specific event or situation. It's an ask that's made from movie directors, TV producers, advertising agencies, and in my world, occasionally from a playwright. Even in the writing rooms, when we're making music for the radio, many times we start with a story and write the emotions surrounding it. If you can see the scene and the relationship between the characters, the song and melody are easier to imagine. I thought I might give you a glimpse into what it takes to write a song on demand. My most recent experience with this is writing the music to the musical Troubadour. My partner Janice Schaefer created a world where the characters that she imagined had written their own country hits. And these songs had to be created between the years of 1935 and 1951, and I had no idea what those songs needed to sound like or even what kind of words or rhymes were popular at the time. So I went to the internet to go exploring and followed some pretty specific steps to bring those songs to life. That process that I used is the one that I'll use here to attempt my first murder ballad. Hang on, here we go. Step one, do your homework. So I went in search of the definition and history of the murder ballad, and here's what I found. So it's a function of art to render unspeakable truths into metaphors. Murder ballads were intended to tell the news before there were newspapers. They typically recount the details of a mythic or true crime, who the victim is, why the murderer decides to kill him or her, how the victim is lured to the murder site, and then the act itself, followed by the escape and or capture of the murderer. Often the ballad ends with the murderer in jail or on their way to execution. Seems intense, right? Okay. Step two, get inspired. So I went looking for some examples. The one that comes to mind immediately for me is an old Appalachian folk song they called Knoxville Girl. I grew up near Knoxville, so I was always fascinated by the title. Here's the band BR549 singing this dark story.
I met a little girl in Knoxville, a town we all know well. And every Sunday evening out in her home I dwell.
Man, I love the haunting sounds and deadpan delivery. See what I did there? Okay, here's Johnny Cash singing Delia's Gone.
Delia, oh Delia, Delia all my life. If I hadn't shot poor Delia, I'd have had her for my wife. Delia's gone, one more round, Delia's gone.
It seems that his simple explanation gives the narrator some sort of numb, removed vantage point to tell the story. Now a little twist. Here's Dolly Parton telling the story of a frustrated marriage proposal that ended in death.
I started home.
Twixt 12 and 1.
I cried, my God. What have I done?
Okay, I'm going to try one more. Maybe something more traditional in case I'm missing something just listening to American artists. Wondering if there's some other piece to the songwriting puzzle that comes from maybe the European tradition.
She walks these hills in a long black veil. She visits my grave when the night winds wail. Nobody knows, love. Nobody sees.
nobody knows but me.
Step 3, build a picture. Okay, so I dove into the strangest part of the Ted Bundy story. Some of this is internet speculation. Some seems true. But in either case, it all seems like great soil for a song to be planted. It turns out Ted Bundy had a daughter. Here are the facts that seem crazy, but true. Apparently, Carol Ann met Ted Bundy in the audience of one of his trials. Rumor is she believed that he didn't do it. He later proposed to her while he was in the courtroom representing himself, and she was his witness. Even though it was banned, there are speculations that they had a conjugal visit and that Carol Ann got pregnant. The only other thing I noticed in some weird corner of the web was the fact that the mother never brought the daughter to meet her father. Now, if this isn't a ripe story for a haunting, I don't know what is. Step 4, find a voice. I'm now kind of convinced that the most fun thing to imagine would be, what if the daughter was writing a song about her mother and father? I wonder if she thinks about who made her and wonders if she herself is predisposed to killing. I started to imagine, what kind of life must it be to grow up knowing that part of your DNA has serial killing? Step 5, make it structured and also make it fit the research. So here goes. I sat and wrote some lyrics and I looked at where it led me. Try not to overthink it. Make sure to leave some room for a mystery. I also kind of hid the Ted Bundy reference by using what was probably his given name rather than his nickname, Ted. But I used the wife's real name. All right, enjoy.
Daddy's name was Edward, Mama's name was Carol Ann. And while he was on trial for killing, he asked for her hand. If he ever thought of hurting her, I guess I'll never know. I was conceived in a railroad prison while he was on death row. Yeah, Daddy was a killer, maybe I'm a killer too. His blood runs red inside my head, I don't know what I'd do. If I ever had to lay you down and take your life from you, remember Daddy was a killer. Killer too. Daddy was a killer, maybe I'm a killer too.
I hope you enjoyed this episode of Geeking Out, and we are all hard at work here on the next one. Are you obsessed with something amazing? Want to tell us about it? Write to us at geekingoutwithkb@gmail.com, and you might be a guest on an upcoming episode. Come find out more about me and this podcast at christianbush.com, Christian with a K. Follow me at Christian Bush on Twitter, Christian Bush on Instagram, Christian Bush on Facebook, and Christian M. Bush on Snapchat. Thanks to Bobby Bones for the opportunity to build this podcast, Brandon Bush for the editing and the soundtrack, Tom Tapley for the audio wizardry, and Whitney Pastrick for being a great producer and making this whole thing possible. This is Christian Bush geeking out. Thank you for listening.
This is Malcolm Gladwell from Revisionist History. eBay Motors is here for the ride. With some elbow grease, fresh installs, and a whole lot of love, you transformed 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. Brake kits, LED headlights, whatever you need, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, It's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Plus, at these prices, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Your new home journey starts at Fisher Homes, where everything is red, white, and new. Explore exclusive summer savings and start your journey by selecting your ideal home site and your dream community. Choose from a variety of expertly designed floor plans and bring your style to life at the Lifestyle Design Center. Are you looking for a quick move-in ready home instead? Fisher Homes has options for those too. Fill out a form to connect with a new home advisor at fisherhomes.com to get started today before the sun sets on summer savings.
Hey everyone, this is Jody Sweetin from the podcast How Rude, Tanneritos. I've been needing a quick getaway with my family, and the 2024 Hyundai Santa Fe is the perfect vehicle to take us there. It has standard third row seating, so I'm able to pack my entire family, plus pets in the car, while also having enough room for our camping essentials. Available H-Track all-wheel drive will get us through any dirt trails, and available dual wireless charging pads will ensure we never have to worry about getting stuck with a dead phone in the middle of nowhere. Visit HyundaiUSA.com. or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.